Lord God, we are glad and thankful to be here this morning to honor you and to receive blessing from your holy word. Be with us in our worship and bless our fellow worshipers and us for your mercy's sake. Teach us, encourage us, strengthen us, and enable us to flee temptation and to honor you in all that we say and do. Amen. Welcome this morning to the worship service in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, through whom we as Christians in the precious gospel of Holy Scripture have received the perfect cure for our sickness of sin, health that we enjoy now in Christ and will endlessly forever after in heaven. We pray that the Spirit of the Lord be poured out upon us richly as we worship our Savior in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We've come into the presence of God who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children, but we've disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all of your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He's removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God grant us grace and strength to live according to His will. Amen. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Glory to God, we give you thanks and praise of heavenly joy and peace on earth we sing. We worship you, to you our hearts we raise. Lord God Almighty, Father, Heavenly King. Lord Jesus Christ, the Father's only Son, you bore for us the load of this world's sin. O Lamb of God, your glorious victory won, receive our prayer, grant us your peace within. Alone, O Christ, you only are the Lord. At God's right and in majesty most high, who with the Spirit worshipped and adored, with all the heavenly host we glorify. Let us pray. O God, from whom all good counsels proceed, grant to us, your humble servants, that by your holy inspiration we may think the things that are right, and by your merciful guiding accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Good morning. Good morning. Theme of the service today and central message of the sermon will be, as mentioned in the introduction at the beginning of the service, was the perfect spiritual health the Lord has granted to us in the gospel, for which we praise Him. And one of the things the Lord does as our heavenly physician, also be mentioned in the sermon, is to diagnose our spiritual sin sickness so that we might know our great spiritual need for His healing touch. And that's the thought that's presented to us in our Old Testament reading through the prophet Hosea, the Lord coming to His people, unbelieving people in those times, and helping them to realize their sin sickness, that they might acknowledge Him as their Savior and receive the refreshing healing of the gospel that He sought to bestow. We read in Hosea 5:15 and following, Then I will go back to my place until they admit their guilt, and they will seek my face. In their misery, they will earnestly seek me. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us in pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, he'll revive us. On the third day, he'll restore us, that we may live in his presence. Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. What can I do with you, Ephraim? What can I do with you, Judah? Your love is like the morning mist, like the early dew that disappears. Therefore, I cut you in pieces with my prophets. I killed you with the words of my mouth. My judgments flashed like lightning upon you. For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. Here ends the reading from the Old Testament. It's joined in responsively reading portions from Psalm 6 as printed in your bulletin. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger.
Or discipline me in your wrath.
Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am faint.
O Lord, heal me, for my bones are in pain.
Turn, O Lord, and deliver me. I am worn out from groaning. Away from me, all you who do evil. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. All my enemies will be ashamed and dismayed. Our second scripture lesson is drawn from Paul's letter to the Romans, a section where he speaks of the father of believers, Abraham, one whom the Lord graciously brought to faith in him in Old Testament times, realized the great need he had in the coming Savior, and whose faith was accounted to him for righteousness, just as the Lord also accounts righteousness to us and perfect healing through Christ. Romans 4, verses 18 and following. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him" were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Here ends the second lesson. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and treasure it. Alleluia.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These words are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Let's arise and confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word for our meditation today is found recorded in Matthew's Gospel in the 9th chapter, reading there in verses 9 through 13. And Jesus went on from there. As he went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. And the Pharisees saw this. They asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." So far the text. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, dear fellow redeemed. Did you hear the promising news report that came out a few days ago regarding the COVID pandemic? There was a story in the news, I think about the middle of last week, about a cheap and widely used steroid called dexamethasone that was found to cut deaths by up to one-third in seriously affected COVID patients. The same article reported that it remains, however, unclear about how beneficial the treatment may be for those suffering with the disease in a less severe way. And everyone still knows and is in agreement that the most powerful weapon against the coronavirus is a vaccine. And so scientists all over the world have been in a race to be the first ones to create a vaccine. We hope and pray that it'll be developed very soon so that the contagion of this disease might be halted. And we also hope that it'll be a good long while before another super virus like COVID arises in our society and in our world. We know as Christians, don't we, that having to deal with sickness, disease, flu bugs, and viruses will always be a part of our living in this imperfect world until Jesus returns and fashions the new heavens and the new earth. There will never be a perfect cure for every health problem. But isn't it a great comfort for us as Christians to know that Jesus has provided us with the surefire, 100% effective, one person cured for every person treated medicine for our sin-sick souls. And this morning we want to focus on that blessed gospel thought that Christ is our heavenly physician, and in love he diagnoses for us, first of all, our sin-sickness. He then provides us with his perfect cure, and then he calls us to follow him in faith. Text I just shared with you records events that took place not long after Jesus' amazing miracle, speaking of cures, his miracle of curing a paralyzed man at Capernaum who was brought to him by friends on a stretcher, the man to whom the Lord said, "Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven," applying to that man the healing balm and medicine of the gospel. And then he gave him the ability also to pick up his bed and walk home. Matthew records how after Jesus left that house in Capernaum, that he walked to a building in the city where a man named Matthew was working as a tax collector. Something about tax collectors we want to note, probably have heard this, but be reminded, they were all really despised. They'd be really, really sick people, viewed as traitors against the Jewish nation because they had aligned themselves politically with the hated Romans, working and being employed by them. And they were also detested for their dishonest business dealings, notorious for inflating the value of the merchandise they were hired by the Romans to assess, collecting unreasonable amounts and enriching themselves in the process. The shady lifestyle of tax collectors actually was just a symptom of an even greater problem and disease that they had, and that's the sin virus, which they and all people are infected with. It's what caused them to fall in love with their money and to adopt as their life motto, "What enjoyments can I get out of this life? What sinful desires can I satisfy and gratify using my money?" And then to consider the treasures that Jesus came from heaven to bring them as being totally worthless. Of course, our world today, our society and culture is afflicted with the same malady and infection. We saw it graphically on display not so long ago in the looting and the firebombing of the cities around our country, like Minneapolis. We see it in the clambering after all the enjoyments of this present life that characterizes the lives of the general populace. And again, their corresponding lack of interest and despising of the treasures of Jesus and his word. Of course, we also want to, and we should see ourselves in the picture. Because of our inborn sin sickness, we too were inclined, and our sinful natures, our old Adams, still are inclined to seek after wealth and all that mammon offers, to say with the rich fool in Jesus' parable, I want to be able to say, "So you've got plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." And to ignore the obvious that John writes in his epistle, everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. And the world is passing away. So yeah, we all stood in need too, didn't we? We stand in need of a physician to diagnose, first of all, the illness that we are afflicted with and to see for what it is, the lethal nature of sin. And that's exactly what Jesus in love has done for us. As he in love helped Matthew, so he has enabled us to recognize our sin sickness, our need for a heavenly physician. How did that happen? In the case of Matthew, we're not told all the details, but it must have happened through sermons he heard Jesus preaching in Capernaum, or conversations he had had with Jesus, not recorded in the Bible, or through friends who shared with him the precious word of God. In our case, it happened through the Holy Word that the Holy Spirit applied to our hearts when we got baptized, and as we were growing up through Bible readings and scriptures others have shared with us in our life, Jesus, through his word, has diagnosed for us our sin sickness and has helped us to understand the lethal disease we were born with and to know that our only hope for a cure is to be found in him. And how specifically does Jesus effect his precious cure in sin-sick people? Well, in the field of medicine, x-rays often need to be taken. Biopsies, blood tests run, so that the person, sometimes also exploratory surgery, so that the person can know, it can be discovered what's going on inside the person's body, so that that person can receive proper treatment and be helped. When it comes to the cancer of sin sickness, the Lord also uses an x-ray machine, a surgical scalpel of sorts. It's called his holy law, the Ten Commandments. It's what the Lord uses to uncover guilt and sin and how vile our hearts by nature are, how they've been. Law passages, they kind of hurt, like when you get, if you've had surgery, it hurts. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things written in the book of the law to do them. The imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. The Lord looks down from heaven to see if there are any who understand and who seek God. They've all gone astray. There is none who does good. They are all sick. So yeah, it stings. It stings the conscience to hear that, to recognize as we examine our hearts and lives using God's x-ray machine, I've not shown perfect love for my God or perfect love for my neighbor, for my spouse, for my parents, for others in my life. Of course, the Lord uses that law to cause this hurt in our hearts and consciences, to make our hearts receptive and ready to receive the wonderful cure he's provided. And what's that? Well, you know. I just mentioned the one story in the Old Testament really brings that out, the Old Testament story of the Israelites in the desert wandering towards the promised land and complaining against God and Moses, and God sending poisonous vipers into their camp and biting them, so a lot of them died. And when they turned to the Lord for help, he told Moses to put a bronze snake on a pole and tell everyone, if you're bitten, just look at that snake and you'll live. And so Moses made the snake of bronze, put it on a pole, and whoever looked at it was unharmed by the viper's deadly venom. And you know how later on, when Jesus was visiting Nicodemus, he explained the beautiful symbolism behind the bronze serpent story. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, Nicodemus, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. So yeah, it's through our turning to Jesus, looking to him as our Savior in contrition and faith, repentance, the one whom the Father sent here to be lifted up on the cross, and before that, fulfilling all the righteous demands of the law in our stead, that we have been cured. The Lord says to us, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. We're blessed to enjoy already now perfect spiritual health, no matter how many aches and pains and viruses there are in our world. Praise God, you can say it with David. Psalm 51, as expressed by the hymn writer, oh, bless the Lord, my soul, let all within me join, and aid my tongue to bless his name, whose favors are divine. 'Tis he forgives your sins, 'tis he relieves your pain, 'tis he that heals your sicknesses and makes you young again. Pharisees had it all wrong, thinking that they didn't need a doctor for their soul, grumbling to the disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with those sick people, those tax collectors and sinners?" They thought that Jesus, by accepting the invitation of Matthew to his house for a meal and hanging out with the riffraff, he was condoning their sick lifestyle. They did not see that he was reaching out in love to heal their souls, just as he had done for Matthew. That's why the Lord does not want us to practice social distancing, if you understand correctly. Shy away from opportunities for associating with people of questionable moral character whom others look down on, because we may be the ones that Jesus has in mind to administer the cure for souls that he has offered and he's made available to all. To tell people, God loved the world. That was the next verse in that Nicodemus story. Maybe you were looking for it there. But to tell them, God loved the world so that he gave his only Son, the lost, to save, that all who would in him believe should everlasting life receive. That leads us to the last part of today's sermon. Our heavenly physician Jesus calls us to follow him in thankful love. In our text, we read how when Jesus went to the tax collecting booth where Matthew was working, that he said, "Follow me." That was actually a very special call for Matthew, to be an apostle, to be one of the 12 who was to play an integral role later on in spreading the gospel, administering the cure of the gospel after Jesus' ascension to many others. And Jesus also had it in mind to use Matthew as an author of one of the Holy Spirit-inspired gospels, the very gospel from which this text is taken, Matthew. So yeah, a very special call. And Matthew, without a second thought, left behind his job as tax collector, and from that day forward, walked with Jesus in thankfulness for the cure that the Lord had applied to his heart in the forgiveness of sins. Now, we're not called to follow Jesus and to serve him in the very same way as Matthew was as an apostle or as an author of a Bible book or as a full-time Christian missionary overseas or as a pastor, a teacher, although there may be some the Lord has in mind for that. But in general, this is something we can say, each one of us, the Lord has called us to follow and serve him as his thankful disciples in whatever the vocation in life it is where the Lord has placed us. And of course, today's Father's Day. You can think of the vocation the Lord has given to you as fathers to follow Jesus and serve him, training up your children in the Lord, providing them with faithful Christian instruction, leading them by the Christ-like example that you set for your family in the home. You may serve and follow Jesus as a husband and as a wife, serving each other in agape love in your marriage relationship, letting the Lord's word be your guide, turning it for guidance as needed, looking to it for comfort in life's sorrows, sharing forgiveness when hurts happen. As a son or a daughter, you can follow Jesus by letting his love be seen and the cheerful obedience that you render to your parents in the godly attitudes you exhibit, the unselfishness you show towards your siblings and those others whom the Lord has given to be his representatives to serve you in love. As church members, we follow and serve Jesus, don't we? By the interest that we show and by the involvement, active involvement in the work of the Lord and his congregation. In these and many other ways, demonstrating our gratitude for the precious cure that he has administered to our souls in the forgiveness of all our sins. So may the Lord continue to so bless us, and for our encouragement in our faith walk as his disciples, may we always keep before our mind's eye the compassion of our heavenly physician, which he's shown to us in first diagnosing our sin sickness and then providing us with the precious balm and medicine of the gospel of his forgiveness, that we may be strengthened to follow him in faith until the time when we live in that place where there will be no sickness of any kind. We'll enjoy perfect physical health, youthful vigor, endlessly with the Lord in heaven. And our souls will then continue also, yes, to be, even as they are now, in peak condition, having been cleansed and purified by the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Amen. The peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. May be seated, and you're probably aware already that the offerings are not being collected in the pews and won't be for a while, so if you have an offering to present to the Lord, you may do so by putting in a plate in the church entry as you walk in. Let us pray. And there are two special prayers we desire to offer, one on behalf of our fathers on this Father's Day, and then another prayer on behalf of Douglas Kettner, the father of Nathan and Gina, who live down in Monument. He suffered a heart attack the end of May and has received treatment for his heart attack at the Eau Claire Hospital. He lives actually, I think, 50 miles away in Cameron, Wisconsin. He is now back home recuperating, and they're hoping that he does not need to have a heart surgery bypass, but he's now at home recouping, so we want to offer a prayer also on his behalf. Heavenly Father, in you by faith, we see an example of perfect fatherhood, and in Christ, perfect sonship. May we, your adopted family through Christ, learn also to live in our earthly families according to your will. Help Christian fathers everywhere to exercise love, understanding, discipline, and compassion for their children, just as you have dealt with us. Lead us in turn to honor and obey our fathers, just as the Savior was subject to you. Secure in Christ, we celebrate this special day for fathers and thank you for the blessing you've given us through our fathers. Amen. We pray, Lord, that you would also look upon your servant Douglas Kettner with your grace. Touch him with your healing hand and let your life-giving power flow into every cell of his body and into the depths of his soul, restoring him to wholeness and strength for service in your kingdom. Help the members of his family to remember that you make all things to work for the good of those who love you so that they will not worry. Abide with him and with all of us as we journey through this world of sin and sorrow until by your grace we enter the joys of heaven. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we bless you for your inspired word written through the prophets and apostles, for by that word you've revealed your grace and given us great and precious promises. We beseech you to bestow upon us your Holy Spirit, that we may grow in the knowledge of our Savior and ever be comforted by your faithfulness in the fulfillment of your word. We especially praise you for your love in bringing us from death to life by the death of your Son, Jesus Christ, in our place, and by the power of his resurrection. Give us, O Father, the spirit of your love, so that loving you above all things, we may also show your love by what we say and do unto others. Wherever we find people in want or need, give us hearts of compassion so that we're eager to share the blessings you've given us. And grant, dear Lord, that those to whom we show compassion may be moved to glorify you. We thank you, dear Father, that by the merits and the mercies of Christ, we've been healed of the disease of our sin sickness, and that through the proclamation of this gospel, you've invited all people to come and likewise be healed. We pray that we may join your whole church on earth in bringing this invitation to all nations, and that many may respond with ready and willing hearts. Send your messengers forth to confront the world with its sin and to invite troubled sinners to perfect healing by the blood of Christ, that all to whom your word is preached may respond with hearts of faith, casting aside all self-righteousness and trusting only in Christ. We ask your special guidance, protection, and comfort for the sick and the sorrowing, the aged and the lonely. Tenderly bestow on them your mercy and show them what great things you've prepared for your children. Hear our prayer, O Father, and if there is anything else we should have asked for, grant it according to your abundant mercy and for the sake of Jesus Christ, in whose name we also join to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Please be seated for the closing hymn.